Take your Bible this morning and open with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This morning we are going to study verses 15 to 20. Beware of false teachers. Matthew chapter 7. Beginning in verse 15. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. James Boyce remembers hearing someone once saying, if you are going to place poison on a shelf or you have healing medicines, you better label it clearly. Boyce says he was discussing the presence of false teaching and false teachers in the church. And he was recognizing the fact that if false teachers are going to be present in the church, as the Bible teaches they will be, then they must be clearly identified before they do harm. And that is what Jesus is teaching us here in this section. That there are going to be false teachers among us, that they're going to try to infiltrate the church and to do great harm, to do great damage to both believers and unbelievers. So we must be on guard, we must be careful, we must be ready to identify them so we are not led astray by their false teaching. And it should be no surprise to us that there will be false teachers in the church. Just read from 2 Peter this morning, as he says, just as there were false prophets among the people, there will be false teachers among you. And what do they do, and what is their purpose? They will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. So Peter, in 2 Peter, describes their purpose is to bring in destructive heresies. And they will do this secretly. We studied this when we were studying Galatians, that Paul had mentioned false teachers. When they come in secretly. They come in as spies. They spy out our freedom in Christ. So this should be no surprise to us. We should not be shocked or amazed or caught off guard when false teachers arise within the church. The reason for that is Satan has nothing to do with the truth. There is no truth in him. Since the time of his deception of Adam and Eve, Satan has been distorting the truth. He is the father of lies, and he continues to deceive as he has false teachers who distort the truth of Scripture. Paul describes Satan as one who disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. So we need to be aware of the fact that false teachers will arise among us. They will arise in churches that are faithful to proclaim the gospel, to preach Christ, to preach the truth. And the question is, how do we know who they are? I mean, what are some of the characteristics of false teachers? How do we identify them? This is very important for us. It's very practical for us. The more that you know about the truth of God's word, the more you'll be able to identify a false teacher. The more you know their character, the more you'll be able to know who they are. The previous verses that we studied, verses 13 and 14, Jesus has given the invitation to enter the narrow gate, to come to God through Jesus Christ alone. And the way is narrow because there's only one way of salvation, and that is through faith in Christ. So you can be sure when the truth is proclaimed that there's going to be obstacles and hindrances as people try to enter through the narrow gate. Understand this. False teachers want to keep unbelievers on the broad road. They want them to stay on the broad road that leads to destruction. I mean, that is their purpose. It's to get you from contemplating and thinking about the narrow road and keep you on the broad road. And for believers, they want to hinder believers from growing in Christ's likeness. They want to hinder their spiritual growth. So a false teacher can do massive damage in a church if left undetected. So once again, we need to know how to identify a false teacher. You can be sure that it will happen in any church that preaches the truth. Satan has his agents all over the place, especially churches that are proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the truth, exalting Christ. And before we get to how do I identify a false teacher, I want you to notice the warning that Jesus gives in verse 15. He says, beware of the false prophets. As Peter wrote in 2 Peter, just as there were false prophets in Israel, there will be false teachers in the church. Israel had many who claimed to speak on behalf of God, to speak for God, to be speaking the truth of God's word, but were false prophets. So this is nothing new. You need to be on guard. You need to make sure you understand there will be false teachers among us, just as there were false prophets in Israel. Paul mentioned this to the elders in Ephesus before he departed. Listen to what he said to them, Acts 20, 29 to 31. He says, I know after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. He says this very same thing. Be on guard. Be on the alert. Savage wolves are coming in. And they're going to come from outside, and they're even going to come from within. And their purpose is to destroy you. That is their purpose. That is their motive. They want to draw away the disciples after them. This is why you need to be on guard. This is why you need to be on high alert. False teachers are coming, and they want to come as agents of Satan to rip apart a church. So we can't be naive and think that's not going to happen to us. It will happen. False teachers will come. They will arise. This is what Jesus is teaching us here in the Sermon on the Mount. There have always been false teachers, false in Israel prophets, now false teachers. That will happen and continue to happen until he returns. So as a church, we need to be prepared. We need to be equipped. So when they do come, We know how to identify them and what to do about it when the time does come. Here's the good news. The good news is that false teachers can be distinguished from genuine ones. The bad news, it's not easy to identify a false teacher. Would you notice what Jesus says? Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. They look like sheep. They act like sheep. They disguise themselves as Christians, and this is what makes it hard to detect them. They use the right words. They say the right things. They affirm the right doctrines. We're not just here talking about false teachers who preach the health and wealth and prosperity gospel. They're a little more easy to detect, a little more easy to identify. But we're talking about false teachers who are very subtle and very deceptive. You've heard me say before, a false teacher does not come into the church and say, "I'd like to be a member of your church because I want to rip apart and destroy your flock to shreds." Doesn't work like that. Or, "I'm here because I'm a false teacher and I just want to let you know I preach heresy and false doctrines and I'm here to destroy your church." I mean, they just don't do that. They come to you in sheep's clothing. So again, they are very subtle, very deceptive, and they can easily lead you astray. They look like a believer. They act like a believer. And by the way, they're very nice. They're very pleasant. They're easy to get along with. And again, they seem to say the right things. Things that you would expect a Christian to say. In other words, they'll talk about God. They'll talk about Christ. They'll talk about the cross. They'll even talk about his death, burial, and resurrection. They'll talk about the love of God, everything you would expect from a true teacher of God's word. And this is what we should expect. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15, he says, "For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." False teachers are sincere and nice and pleasant, and because of that, that is one of the reasons they can easily lead people astray. So how do we identify them? How do we identify them? Number one, I'll give you a few points this morning to help you with this. Number one, false teachers are identified by their doctrine. False teachers are identified by their doctrine. Again, they're very deceptive in that what they teach seems to be right, seems to be correct, seems to be sound, and seems to be good. They will affirm Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. Salvation is in him. It's by grace that we're saved. They'll affirm those doctrines. But they will also add that which is false to their teaching. That's why it can be hard to detect. They will subtly twist the scripture and distort the truth, but do so in such a way where it sounds good and right. And that's why many are deceived. And here's what I want you to think about. It's not so much at times what the false teacher says, but it's what he leaves out. Please take note of that. Not always in just what he says or what he teaches, but take note of what he leaves out. This is how you can begin to detect a false teacher. Don't only look for what he is saying, but what he's leaving out. A false teacher will never preach or teach on the narrow road. This is not a narrow road kind of preacher. This isn't a narrow path kind of preacher. You won't hear him say that there's a narrow road, that there's a narrow path, and if you're on the broad road, it leads to destruction, and you better get off the narrow or the broad road, because if you're on that road, it leads to eternal punishment and hell. They will not explain, they will not expound on those very doctrines. He will affirm them. Sure, they'll affirm there's a hell. They won't deny that. They'll affirm there's judgment, but there won't be exposition on these doctrinal truths. There is no narrow road preaching. There's really hardly any preaching on judgment. And this is what makes him a wolf in sheep's clothing. He knows, a false teacher knows enough of the right things to say, enough of the right doctrines to affirm, but it's what he leaves out that makes him a wolf. And he's out there once again to destroy you. He's out there, if you're an unbeliever, to keep you on the broad road. And if you are a believer, to hinder your spiritual growth. He does that as he confuses you, taking scripture, twisting it, distorting it, so you're not led to the truth. And when you're not led to the truth, you're not growing, you're not maturing as a Christian. And then you'll take what you've learned from this false teacher and you'll even lead others astray if you teach it. And then when you have that in a church, what you have is a dead church. And that is exactly what Satan wants. In other words, let me put it this way. False teachers always preach messages that are comforting and soothing. It's never a warning of judgment. A false teacher wants everyone to like him, accept him. So he preaches that which is not offensive. He doesn't want to offend anybody. So false teachers are not going to expound on holiness, godliness, righteousness. They may affirm these things again, but you won't hear an exposition, an explanation of them. He doesn't teach on them. They want to receive all the glory from themselves. That's why Jesus said in John 5:44 to the religious leaders, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God?" And this is absolutely nothing new. Go back to the Old Testament and the false prophets. There were the ones who were well thought of, and they preached a comforting message in the midst of the true prophets who were teaching and preaching on judgment. Jeremiah 6:14, "They have healed the brokenness of my people superficially, saying, 'Peace, peace,' but there is no peace." And this is what the people want to hear. The messages that are always comforting and soothing and not offensive. In Isaiah 30:10, this is what the people wanted. They say to the seers, "You must not see visions," and to the prophets, "You must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words, prophesy illusions." We don't want to hear that. We don't want to hear the truth. We just want to hear that which is comforting. So the false teacher always has a message of comfort, always wants to make you feel at ease, feel good, and yet you're falsely assured. And notice, Jesus says, they're ravenous wolves. They are ravenous wolves. They are out to destroy every sheep in the church. And they want to go after unbelievers and shut them out of the kingdom. This is how wicked they are. We studied this in Galatians, and I want to just point your attention back there for a moment. You don't have to turn there, but just listen again to Galatians 4:17. I want you to understand what false teachers do. Paul in Galatians 4:17 of these false teachers say they eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out so that you will seek them. They eagerly come after you. They win over your affections. And what they're doing is not commendable. Why? Because they're liars. They're deceivers. They're doing everything to isolate you from true believers so that they can have a captive audience to lead you astray. And they want to shut you out. They want to disturb you and distort the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shut you out. They want to take you captive by their false teaching. And when they do that, they shut you out of the kingdom. They shut you out in Galatians from being free in Christ. This is how evil, this is how wicked they are. Jesus said of them in Matthew 23:13, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces." That's what they do. "And you don't enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." You shut them out from the kingdom. You shut them out from salvation. So that's why Jesus says they're ravenous wolves. So you identify a false teacher by their doctrine. Number two, false teachers are identified by their Christology. It's a big word. It just means they're teaching about Christ. A true teacher, a true preacher, will always exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and will always point you to Christ. This is one who is born again, one who has the Spirit of God who indwells him, who testifies and proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ, to honor him, to glorify him, to lift up the name of Christ, to continue to point people to Christ as their only hope. That's what a true teacher does. And so you need to have discernment and to listen carefully and to examine what a preacher or teacher of God's word is teaching. You can look at 1 John for a minute. 1 John chapter 4. John gives some tests to evaluate whether or not someone is a true teacher of God's word. In verse 1 of 1 John 4, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." And so you need to have discernment. You need to know if what is being taught is from God, from one who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who teaches the Word of God, or if someone is teaching demonic lies. There's a point here. And one test to determine whether or not a teacher or preacher is true or false is, what do they teach about Jesus Christ? That's key. Do they confess the truth about Jesus? Verse 2, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God." In John's day, there were false teachers who denied that Jesus had come in the flesh, denying the incarnation of God becoming man, that Jesus didn't have a physical human body, because it's an early form of Gnosticism. The body, the matter, is seen as evil and the spirit as good, so Jesus could not have had a physical human body, only the appearance of it. But anyone who denies the incarnation, that God became man in the person of Christ, is a false teacher. That is not the Spirit of God. If you deny the incarnation, if you teach that the incarnation is false, that is a lie. That is demonic. So John says, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. The spirit will always point to the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That includes both his humanity and his deity. He had to become a man to become the perfect sacrifice for sinners. If he was not a human, he could never have paid the penalty of sin for fallen man. So a true preacher, a true teacher, is going to point to the truth concerning Jesus Christ, that he was fully God, fully man, because this is what God has revealed to us about his Son. To diminish the humanity or deity of Christ does not come from God. So you need to listen carefully to what a preacher or teacher of God's word teaches about the person and work of Christ. They may talk about Jesus. They may talk about the cross. They may talk about his death. But do they teach on the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ? A false teacher will avoid that. A false teacher isn't going to say much at all, if anything, about the substitutionary death atonement of Christ. Do they teach that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was crucified as a substitute, and that he was bearing our sins and our guilt and our punishment on the cross? Did they teach it was God's wrath that was poured out upon Christ, not for his sin, but for our sins, and he became that perfect substitute and perfect sacrifice, dying in our place for our sin? And that it was God's will to send his Son to die on the cross. And that his wrath poured out on his Son as he paid the penalty of sin. And that the wrath of God was satisfied. Do they teach that? Do you hear that from them? Because if you don't, there's a problem. Do they teach, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, do they expound? He, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Listen to how they explain the gospel. So, you know, many times each week, try to proclaim the gospel, true gospel, that there's one and true living God who created us in his image for the purpose of knowing him, worshiping him, glorifying him. But all of us have sinned, have rebelled against him. God, who is perfectly holy, perfectly righteous, and it's because of our sin against a perfectly holy God that we deserve eternal punishment in hell. And that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who is God in human flesh, lived a perfect life, and went to the cross and died on the cross, again, not for his sin, but for our sin, and it was the wrath of God the Father poured out on his Son. And we know that this was a perfect sacrifice, a perfect substitute, because 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And there's only one way by which we can be saved from God's eternal wrath and judgment in hell and damnation, and that is by repenting of our sin and trusting in Christ alone for salvation. That's the gospel. And you're not going to hear a false teacher teach it like that. You're not going to hear about wrath. You're not going to really hear much about sin. You're not going to hear about the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. Sure, Jesus died, rose from the dead, salvation in him. That's about it, as far as they go. Because they want you to think that they're true teachers. They want you to trust them. They want to gain your trust. And once you begin to trust them, they're going to ensnare you and they're going to capture you and they are going to lead you astray because they are ferocious wolves. If they're not preaching and teaching on the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ and explaining to you and explaining what that means, you have a false teacher. Number three, false teachers are identified by their fruit. Go back to Matthew. False teachers are identified by their fruit. Verse 16, you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. The only way one can produce good fruit is if he or she has been changed and transformed by the Spirit of God. One needs to be born again, new life in Christ, to produce anything that is good. You need life in Christ to bear fruit. So that when you are born again, the Spirit of God indwells you. He's working in you and through you to conform you to the very image of Christ. So here, you may have a person and they say the right things, but you need to look at their life as well. You need to look at their fruit. So you need to not only just, here's what they're teaching, but you need to examine their life. Don't merely judge him by his appearance or his words. If you look closely and examine them, you'll know them. Their true character cannot be concealed for very long. And who they are will become evident to everyone. But we have a responsibility to detect that before they come in and do their damage. Fruit bearing begins on the inside, begins with a change of heart, a new nature. So that which proceeds from the heart will be good, pleasing to God. Jesus said this in John 15, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, that's union with Christ. He bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. False teacher will tell you that you can become a better you. Just add something to your life. It's always Jesus plus something else. As Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks within himself, so he is. False teachers, his character, again, will eventually come out. His true person will be revealed. Appearances can be and are at times very deceptive, but they won't last. So as Jesus says, examine them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. Every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree will bear bad fruit. And every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's judgment. False teachers, we read that this morning, didn't we? In 2 Peter, of the judgment that is, unless they repent, that will be so severe for false teachers. Again, listen to 2 Peter. I just want to just you to understand the magnitude of this, the magnitude of what false teachers can do in a church. 2 Peter 2:2, many will follow their sensuality. and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that never cease from sin, enticing unstable souls, having a heart trained in greed, cursed children. False teachers are motivated by greed, power, money, prestige, sexual lusts, popularity, and not the honor and glory of God. Listen to Jude 4. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were longing beforehand marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, he calls them unreasoning animals. So we see here of how deceptive they can be, either through their teaching, even through how they live. So you have to be on guard. You have to be able to identify them and recognize them. A bad tree can only produce bad fruit. It eventually will come out. Just thinking about this with maybe a recent illustration of Stephen Lawson. How many did he deceive? Preaching the truth, but for 5 years involved in sexual immorality, adulterous relationship, deceiving so many. And no one could see it. There were some indicators along the way, people had said. But he deceived so many. Pray for his repentance. Pray that he turns back to Christ. But it's just an illustration of what can happen. And it can happen in the local church. It can happen so easily. So, what are we to do, false teachers in our midst? It's our responsibility to identify them, stop them. Here's what we're to do. Titus chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced, because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. They are empty talkers, they're deceivers. They're rebellious, that means that they don't listen to the leaders of the church. They don't submit to the elders of the church. They don't submit to the authority of the church. They don't submit themselves to the word of God. First, Paul writes it to Titus and says, silence them. Take away their platform. Take away their teaching opportunities. Don't allow them to teach or preach any longer. Can't allow them to continue to be deceptive and deceive those in the church. Can't, as leaders and elders, let this go on, because it will destroy the church. It'll cause division in the church. So you silence them, you take away their platform. Secondly, we reprove and rebuke them. He says, reprove them in verse 13, severely, so that what? They'll be sound in the faith. You pray for their repentance. You don't just throw them out of the church, you go after them. You correct their false teaching and you show them the truth so that they will turn from their false teaching, that they may be sound in the faith and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's what you pray for. That's the desire. You don't just say, kick them out. You go to them. You show them their errors. You show them their false teaching. You show them the truth of God's word, so that they would turn from their false teaching and be sound in doctrine. Denny Burke says it well. He says the key issue is how we respond to correction. There are two kinds of false teachers: those who repent and those who do not. We need to be careful not to underestimate how important our response to correction is. Those who respond to biblical correction reveal they have the Spirit and are under the command of Jesus. Those who refuse to respond to biblical correction are proving themselves to be devoid of the Spirit and taking orders from another master. End quote. So, we must go to them. First, you silence them, you take away their platform. Secondly, you go to them, reprove them, rebuke them. Third, you discipline them. Titus 3:10, reject a factious man after a first and second warning, or I think a better translation here from the ESV, as for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Or in 1 Timothy 1, verses 19 and 20, some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that they'll be taught not to blaspheme. False teachers who will not repent after warning them once and then twice must be removed from the church. Again, we cannot allow them to do damage in the church. They must be put out of the church. What does that mean? It means we can no longer accept their profession of faith. Again, as Denny Burke said, if they don't repent, it just shows they're devoid of the Spirit. They must be counted as an unbeliever. We can no longer affirm their profession of faith. And our responsibility then is to go to them with the gospel and go to them with the truth. Not allowing them to cause division, to spread their teaching, and to warn them. This is what we are to do. We do this, why? Because we want them to repent. That's what church discipline is about, isn't it? It's about, we talked about that in our membership class this morning, it's about restoration. It's not about getting someone kicked out of the church. That's not the point. We want to see them restored. We want to see them repent. We want to see them come to faith in Jesus Christ. But we have a responsibility. Once again, you allow a false teacher in the church, you're going to have a dead church. You're going to have a destroyed church. So we need to be aware that false teachers will be among us. They want to lead people astray. They're wolves, ravenous wolves, who want to shred and destroy a church. So we need to be able to identify them. We identify them by their doctrine, their Christology, and their fruit. And if they continue, once we identify them without repentance, we must silence them, rebuke them, and if need be, put them out of the church. We cannot allow false teachers to come in and destroy the church. And as I said, how do you detect a false teacher? How do you identify? One of the best ways is know the truth. If you know the truth of Scripture, you'll be able to have a clearer, better understanding of when there is a false teacher among us. Which means, yes, as elders, we have a responsibility, don't we? If you are to be an elder in the church, you must be able to refute those who contradict. That is absolutely essential if you're going to be an elder in the church. But you have a responsibility. It's not just the elders. If you detect false teaching and you know a false teaching, you need to go to them and show them the truth of God's word that they may turn from their errors. So we have a responsibility to preach and teach the truth of God's word and detect and identify false teachers because, again, if false teaching comes in the church, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, can easily infect and destroy the church. So I pray as a church we remain faithful to the truth, remain faithful to God's word so that we can grow in Christ's likeness, that we may together worship, honor, and glorify God. Let's pray together. Well, Lord, this morning, again, we are so very blessed by your word and blessed by your truth. And as well the warnings that you give to us in Scripture, especially of false teachers and that will come in among us. And they're ravenous wolves who want to destroy the flock, want to keep unbelievers on the broad road. Satan and his agents are all in churches that are faithful to proclaim the truth and proclaim your word, and we must be faithful and responsible to identify false teachers and correct them and pray they turn from their false teaching and turn to the truth. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to be faithful as a local church here, faithful to your word, teaching the truth, because we desire to grow and mature and become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that we would be diligent in our study of your word, not just to know doctrine, but that we may draw closer to you and find our joy in you, find our satisfaction in you, and as well to disciple others, to teach them the truth so that they too may have a great, deep love for you. And for those who are unbelievers, that we may bring them the truth of the gospel, the true gospel. And that you, Father, would do your work of salvation, that we may see more come to faith in Christ, to worship you, honor you, and magnify you. So, Father, help us to be faithful to you, to your word, for your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.